Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. This morning we are growing in faith and learning to trust God. Do you trust God? Amen. Do you trust Him all the time? Oh, me. Right? Sometimes it's easier to trust God than others. That's what we're going to talk about today, is trusting God. Would you stand with me as we read about Abram in the book of Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir.' Then he brought him outside and looked. Then he brought him outside and said, 'Look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them.' And he said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you. You know what every individual here today faces. You know what's going on in every life. You know every temptation, every disappointment, every battle that's being fought here today. And Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the answer and the only answer. Sometimes, Lord, it's so difficult for us to truly trust you, knowing that you are God, you are in control, and you do have our best interest in heart. And you will provide for your children. Lord, we love you. And I pray now for those in this service who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today will be the day that you begin to move in them now. And that, Lord, they'll commit their life to you. Father, I pray for those who are fighting the battles, going through times of doubt and difficulty. I pray, Lord, for your encouragement and strength in their life today. I pray above all, Lord, that you be the center of this service and that you receive honor and glory from everything that's said in this message and everything, every commitment that's done in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. If we're going to grow in faith, if our faith is going to grow and mature as children of God, we're going to have to learn how to trust God no matter what's going on. You know, in the book of Matthew, there's a repeated phrase that Jesus repeated to his disciples. And you know what that phrase is? "Oh, you of little faith." And literally, to put it in our language so we understand, Jesus, when he said, "Oh, you," or "Oh, thou of little faith," he's saying, "You don't trust me. You don't trust me." Matthew 6:8 is talking about being worried about the cares of this life. Jesus said, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" When his disciples were caught in a storm, Matthew 8:26, Jesus said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And as we look at this, Abraham is at that point of, "Oh, you of little faith." And I want you to understand that a lack of faith always leads to spiritual failure. Okay? That's why I ask you, do you trust God today? I mean, really trust God. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You may be facing financial difficulty. You may be facing challenges with kids. You may be facing job challenges. Sometimes trusting in God is all you have. And you have to be able to back up and say, God, I trust you. That's what Abraham does, is as he starts out dealing with the fear. God, I love the way this opens. God said, Abraham, or Abram, don't be afraid. And as God says that, it's interesting to me because Abraham hadn't said anything about a concern. Nothing is recorded that, Lord, this isn't going my way. I don't like where I am. Nothing is recorded like that. But as a matter of fact, he just finished saving his nephew Lot and delivering Lot from his captivity. And he comes back and all that's over with. And he's given an offering to the priest Melchizedek. And he gets to this point and God opens in chapter 15 with Abram. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Isn't it interesting how God knows what's truly in our heart? Yeah. God knew what Abram was thinking before Abram ever even said anything. And Abram was just dreading with a fear of what things appeared to be. And Abram's biggest fear, the thing that struck his heart with dread, was dying without an heir. A son to pass things down to. One thing Abraham and Sarah wanted more than anything in this life was a child. As a matter of fact, that's why he left his home. God said, get out of your land, get out of your homeland to a land I'll show you, and I'm going to make you a great nation. Abraham said, okay, let's go. But I want you to understand it's been a while. Things have progressed. A lot of things have happened up to this point. And Abram has held on to God's promise day after day after day. He's even done everything he's supposed to do. Kind of. As a man can do, mind you. He's where he's supposed to be. And day after day, nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai, are becoming older and older. And he's at the point where you know he's worried, I'm getting too old. It's not going to happen. Life is quickly passing him by, and he's no closer to having a child in chapter 15 than he was when he left his homeland. Now God says, Abram, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How can you possibly not be concerned? Well, you've got to know who your God is. Okay? You've got to have the affirmation of who your God is. God told Abram, he said, Abram, I am your shield and your great reward. I am your protection. I am your wages. As a matter of fact, literally in language that you and I could understand, the Hebrew literally says, I'm your really good paycheck, Abram. I pay really, really good. But I want you to notice the first thing. He said, I am. I am. That personal pronoun is a reminder that God says, Abram, it's about me. And I want you, see, God brings Abram to that point where God is all he has. He's at that point where he knows that having a child is beyond his and Sarai's capability. Now, it's all left up to God. If God doesn't do something, that's not going to happen. And you know what God's saying is, he says, I'm your shield. I'm your great reward. It's me, Abram. But in language you and I can understand, God says, Abram, you can count on me. Do you know that? Did you know that you can count on God? How many of you are facing challenges today? Would you just raise your hand? I mean, uncertainty, don't we all? And the thing I want you to realize is that so much of it is out of our control. We're not the ones, and you know, often we are under the illusion that I got this. whether it be business deals or raising children at home or marriage issues, we think, okay, I've got control. You don't have control. Bottom line is, you're just a pilgrim passing through. Your only hope is a God that has the power to change things. Okay? And that's where I want you to be. I don't care what you're facing today. You know, he said, Brother Doug, I'm in financial crisis. If something doesn't happen, I'm going to be in bankruptcy. Well, let me assure you of this. God is still God, whether you're in bankruptcy or not. And He is still in control. And if He leads you down that road, He has a reason for you going down that road. Brother Doug, I'm not sure I want to go down that road. I don't blame you. I don't either. But God is God. He is your protection and your strong tower and your great reward. There are those in this service today that have faced health challenges. There's never a time that you're more helpless than when you stand before the doctor or sit before the doctor and the doctor delivers the bad news, the C word. And you just, what am I going to do? Well, there's nothing you can do. Oh, there may be nothing you can do, but I can tell you this. If you're a child of God, you know the one that can do. I've seen people go through so very much, and I back up and think, how did they get through that? And it dawns on me, they didn't. It was their God that got them through. So that's the first thing that God is assuring Abram. Abram, back up. Listen, don't be afraid. Abram, I got this. Secondly, Abram, you don't have to be frustrated. Let's look. Even after God says, I'm your great reward. I'm your shield. Abraham still, you know, he doesn't get it yet. Abraham carries the conversation on and says, God, what would you give me? What can you give me that can replace a child, seeing I go childless? You know what the meaning of that phrase, seeing I go childless? He's not just talking about not having a child. Literally, he's talking about dying without a child. Dying without an heir. He's given up hope. You ever been there? There's no use. It's too far gone. Abram's saying, God, you know, I know you're God and you can give me riches. I already got riches. God, I know you can do what you can do. But God, you haven't given me a child. And that's the only thing I want. Therefore, life is hopeless. I have no children. Therefore, the heir to my house will be the servant that's been born in my house. And you just see such hopelessness. I'm talking about, have you ever been hopeless? When, if God doesn't answer, I'm in trouble. That's where Abram is. And let me tell you, you may be there today. Maybe, you know, and you can fill in the blank. But I want to assure you that if you are a child of God, the same God that saved you and delivered you from hell is still your God today. And He has the power to do anything today that He's ever done before. Okay? God's strength has not changed. Your condition isn't changed by circumstances. Abraham, God, there's just no use. It's over. And God says, whoa, Abram. Whoa, hold on. You see, Abram, what you need to know is that your plan does not always match my plan. Do you realize that God's time's not always our time? But God's time's always right? Do you realize that God's way is not always our way? But God's way is always right? Isaiah 55 and 8, love the verse, a reminder at this point. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. All this we think we know, oh, we don't have a clue. You have to understand the God that is behind you. You have to know that just because things are not progressing as you think they're supposed to, doesn't mean things are not progressing. You know why Abraham, why God didn't just say, when He called Abraham out of his old land and said, get to the new land that I'm going to show you. Do you want to know why when he gets to Canaan land that God doesn't just order, you know, bang, you're having a son and grow the empire from there. You know why he didn't do that? Because Abram was not ready for that. He wasn't. He had to grow. He had to grow in his faith and grow in his relationship with God. And that's what's going on in this whole process is he's growing. And every step that he takes, every time he talks to God, every mistake he makes, he learns from it. Up to the point that when he does receive this promised child a little bit later on, and God says, I want you to take Isaac, your son, your only son, the promised child, I want you to take it and offer him as a sacrifice. You know what Abram said? All right, here we go. Oh, but here, you see, he wasn't there yet. Do you realize that life is supposed to be a growing process? You may not like where you are right now. But hold on, it'll probably change. Okay? But understand, just because it's painful, just because it's hard, it does not mean it's not part of God's plan to mature you and to grow you. There was a time, you know, we as pastors, we have our ups and downs. And I was going through a particularly down time. And all I wanted was to get out. Oh, I wanted to run with all my heart and my prayer. And honestly, my prayer was, Lord, get me out of this. Morning, noon, and night. That was my prayer. Lord, get me out. Lord, get me out. Lord, get me out. Over and over and over. And you know what? The Lord kept me there 2 more years. And I look back. First of all, it was the greatest education I've ever received in my life. God taught me. He taught me how to keep my mouth shut. Y'all need to learn that lesson. He taught me to trust Him. He taught me how to pour out my heart to Him. I mean, He taught me how to be broken. That's what He taught me. And you know what? I would not trade that 2 years of my life for anything. Because I needed it to mature and to grow. You see, you may be crying out, God, get me out of this. I'm sick. And if you don't do something, you know, it's going to get bad. Well, back up just a minute. Listen, if you're a child of God, you are where you are with a purpose. I love Matthew chapter 7. It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give good things to those who ask? You know, God's going to give. If you know how to take care of your children, don't you think God knows how to take care of His children? And He will take care of you. You know, He will grow you. And I love the way he goes. He points out to Abram, okay, now our plans aren't matching here, but Abram, I'm still right. What I want you to do is I want you to go outside. And I want you to look up in the sky. And Abram, it's nighttime. And I want you to count the stars if you can. I want you to count the stars if you can. And I can just see Abram going out, downhearted, and his lip pooched out. Okay, God. And he goes out there and he looks up. crystal clear night. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, this may take a while. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. This may take longer than I think. And you know, somewhere along the way, it dawns on him. Hey, these stars that I can't count because there are so many, there's a God who created every one of them, and He's my God. You see? The confidence builder, the God's plan. I love Psalms 147. It come to mind when I was studying. He said, He, that being God, He counts the numbers of the stars. And He calls them by name. It makes me smile when they, you know, for a while, I guess they still do it. They were talking, they would encourage you to make a donation to the stargazers, and they'd name a star after you. Too late. God's already named every one of them. Isn't it cool? He knows them, everyone, by name. Now that's God. Abram, that's the God you're dealing with. You think this is hard for you, for me, Abram? That's the God. And Abram, I want you to understand, just because you're discouraged doesn't change the plan. You will have a child, and that child will come from your body, not some servant that's born in your household. I made the promise at the very beginning, and just because you have not seen it yet does not mean that promise is not effective. God is faithful. All the time. All the time. And He has the power to back up what He promises. You know? And I can just see as Abram's countenance changed and faith began to take over that frustration and that fear and push that out. And Abraham began to say, God, I get it. I understand You are God. You are in control. I don't have to understand. I don't have to know everything. I don't have to know the when, because You are God. And verse 6 says, Abram believed in the Lord. That word believed is really interesting. It means to be trustworthy. So what Abram is doing is he's losing the fear and he's losing the frustration, and he's like, God, I'm sorry. I can trust You. You will do what You say You'll do. And it says it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, before I go on, I want to take a little break, and I want to assure you of this. I don't care what you're facing. God's still God. Okay? We all have our ups and downs. It's not an excuse to quit. It's not an excuse to back out. And just because things aren't working out like you think they should, does not mean that you can bail out on God. Because God has never bailed out on you. Okay? Never. So, child of God, hang in there. Be encouraged. He is the God that hung the sun, the moon, and the stars. He is the God who spoke everything into existence. And He's the same God today as He was when He first said, let there be, and there was, in Genesis 1:1. Stay with Him. Don't give up. But you see, right here's where it gets really interesting. Because when it says Abram believed in the Lord, and He, that is God, accounted it to him as righteousness. What did Abram believe? Well, he believed that God's plan was going to happen, that there was going to be an heir, and that it was going to be God was going to build a great nation. But it goes deeper, okay? And the deepness, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, I think I put it in there, yes. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, it says, then the Lord appeared to Adam and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. That's Abraham. But the interesting part, what I want you to catch, that word descendants. For some reason, they put an S on the end of it. And in the Hebrew, it is not plural, it is singular. It should read, to your descendant, I will give this land. It's singular. Okay? Not a bunch, one. All right? I want you to get this. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, he said it again. In your seed. Now that word seed is singular. It's not plural. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now stay with me, okay? And it's interesting because the promise, the seed, the descendants, is singular. And Paul tells you the meaning of that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. As Paul said, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. Not only did Abraham believe, this is the God that can make things happen. This is the God that can take care of me. This is the God that's got a plan and he's going to live up to a plan. But this is the God that's going to cause the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God to come through my heritage. You see? What did Abraham believe? Abraham believed in Jesus. That's what this says. Okay? That's what... This is Old Testament looking forward some 4,000 years before Jesus ever born. And Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. That word righteousness means to be made right with God. Abraham was not made right with God because he left his homeland. He was not made right with God because he listened to God and took his son, his only son Isaac, up on a mountain to sacrifice him. That wasn't what made him right with God. What made him right with God was looking forward to a coming Messiah that would pay the sin debt of the world. The reason I stress that so hard today is because that's the starting point. That's where you begin, with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you got to begin. You see, the world today teaches, just believe. I find it funny. And y'all know I like football. I like to watch football and all that, you know. And they'll talk to fans, say, we believe in you. That don't make any difference. My team's going to win because we believe. No, they're going to win because they're better on any given day, right? What I'm saying is you've got to have something to believe in. There has to be a foundation for your faith. In the school, in our schools, you hear, believe in yourself. You can do anything. Just believe in yourself. Keep on believing in yourself. I promise you, you'll be disappointed one day, right? And I'm not trying to take away, self-esteem and all that. I'm just stating the fact. I love myself pretty much, but, you know, man, I sure do disappoint myself a whole lot. You've got to have something solid to build on. That solid foundation, no other foundation can anyone lay than Jesus Christ. Abraham believed in Jesus. Oh, he might not have knew his name. I don't know if he did or not. But he believed in this Messiah that was going to come through his bloodline. And he built his life based on this Messiah. You've got to have a place to start. Are you a child of the King? Well, now, Brother Doug, I do the best I can. That's not going to work. Your best is not good enough. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot. Well, Brother Doug, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you. That's me. That's Brother Dale. That's Sister Beth. That's Brother Michael. That's the person sitting next to you, in front of you, and behind you. We all fall short. So if we're going to have a foundation to build a life on for this life and the life to come, it's going to have to be a better foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, gave His life as a sacrifice for your sin and for mine. He died for you. And He offers an invitation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, today you're a prayer away from laying the foundation for a life worth living. Are you a child of God? If not, this invitation is for you. Maybe you are a child of God and you're going through some tough times, some difficult things, health or wealth or whatever. Listen, Jesus is still the answer. Jesus is still the answer. Keep the faith. He's in control. Maybe you need to spend time at this altar. You come do that. Maybe you need to, the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church. You come and make that commitment. Whatever the commitment is that Jesus would lead you to make, I would invite you to do so as we have this invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for your word, for the encouragement of your word. Lord, oh, we're just reminded how weak in faith we are from time to time. And Lord, we're reminded that we're supposed to grow in our faith at all times. And so we come to you this morning to just stop and consider you are the God of the universe, the creator of all things, and the giver of life. We come to you praying for those who have never made a confession of faith, who have never committed their life to Jesus Christ. I pray that today is the day. Today is the day that they will come to you for salvation. I pray for those who are hurting, Lord. You know who they are. They just face disappointments. Life gets tough. But I just pray for your assurance in their life today. That they will realize you're still God and you're still on the throne. And nothing's going to change that. And that, Lord, I just pray when we walk out of here today, everyone present will walk out being right with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.